Now that you do live and teach in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, has that changed your subject or your style at all?
In some ways, yes. In other ways, less than I thought. I thought I would stop writing about childhood. I thought I would stop writing about something that's very interesting to me is how a child comes to think about what the world is about, what the meaning is. All these kind of religious questions, I thought that I dealt with that in my first two books, and I've figured out now, no, I really haven't. It's still a question. And then I thought about poets I really liked a lot, like Walt Whitman, Emily Dickinson, William Wordsworth, and I realized, wait, I mean, they wrote over and over and over again about the things that that they were obsessed about and wrote. So I've sort of given up thinking about that I'm going to, like, I need a new subject. Obviously, childhood is still endlessly interesting to me. The great German poet Rilke, in his Letters to a Young Poet, wrote to this young poet who was asking advice, and he said, anyone with a childhood has enough material to write about forever. I think that's very much true. The longer I live here, it's 23 years now I've lived in Wisconsin, the more I learn about the history of this place, the more I learn about what grows here, what the weather is like, and all that. And I think I still gain more confidence about being able to speak of it with some sort of authority and some kind of validity.
Can we close by hearing one more poem?
Yes. I'll read one. It's not exactly about this season, but I'm kind of hungry, so I'll read one that has food in it, perhaps, if I can find it. It doesn't really, it's interesting. Sometimes you hear people say, yeah, I'd like to write, I just can't think of what to write about. You don't really need that much to start with. I mean, your own interest and part and sort of streams of your own thought will play out no matter where you start. You can start writing about something huge, but it doesn't have to be huge. And so this is about muffins. I remember exactly where I was when I wrote this poem. I'd had a lot of caffeine. I was kind of hungry. It was spring. It had been a long Midwestern winter. And I looked at these muffins lined up under this glass at a Holiday Inn, I believe it was. And somehow they just struck me as being strangely appealing and beautiful. And so the poem started out being about muffins, but I don't think it's really about muffins. The muffins. I take them as a sign of hope. In spite of the leftover rain and the red buds, in spite of the lurk of clouds and the sad, milky repetitions of the city fountain, they remind me of school children lined up under the slanted glass, or homely beauty contestants, sugar-glazed, inflated beyond reason, fatally smitten by their own dreamy contours, the youngest still warm from the oven, the elderly, darkly stoic, stiffened with patience, the shape of the muffin tin haunting them like a dominant gene. I take it as a sign of hope that, unburdened by protein or conscience, innocent of nutrient or memory, the muffins have concocted a life for themselves, surviving like mushrooms by mistaking themselves for flowers. I find myself strangely moved and lifted by such errors. The aroma of muffins, their unlikely blossoms, their brief and airy sweetness.
Thank you.
You're welcome.